This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold 'em. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus and throw your keys up. Stick around.
Hey, Matt Rothschild here, subbing for Maggie on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. Love that song by Beyonce because I am a Texas Hold'em player. Made $300 last night, by the way. Just want to brag a little bit. I want to take a couple calls from people who've been holding patiently. The conversation we're having today is about the RNC that just happened and then the big political question as to whether Biden should stay or whether he should go. And I invite you to call in at 855-752-4842. We'll take a couple calls and then I've got a great guest for you for the rest of this half hour. On the line and waiting for a while has been Angel from Milwaukee. Angel, what's on your mind?
I just think we have to go back and realize we have all these laws and, you know, we put all these things in place for a reason, and democracy is to keep things fair. And here we have an individual who wants to undo everything that we've done for centuries to make things fair. And the fact that he's even on the ballot after January 6th is disheartening, to say the least. It says a lot about the world. It seems like the world is going backwards.
Well, Angel from Milwaukee, I really appreciate the call. I agree Trump wants to undo everything that we believe in here and all the gains we've made in our struggle for a more perfect union, a more just democracy. I mean, the idea that he could stand up last night and say he's defending democracy was the worst joke of the night. And we need to do everything in our power to make sure that he does not get anywhere close to the Oval Office again. So, Angel, I couldn't agree with you more. We've got Eric from Tulsa who also wants to give us a couple thoughts. Eric, what's on your mind?
Hello. Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
No worries.
Yeah, I can. You can feel the disappointment in Angel's voice, and I concur with exactly what she was saying in that same sentiment. And I'd also like to say, as far as the whole Democratic situation, it's up to Biden with wise counsel, legally, I suppose, to whatever degree. Hopefully, if he decides to step aside, he doesn't step anywhere past as vice president, because that would be devastating and a disrespect and just not unfathomable, to be honest with you. And then what I did want to ask, because you two had both answered my question and anything I had to think about that question, was there's the election coming up soon and the primaries, and in that is the amendment questions, two of them, and I'd like to see what your thoughts are on them and why you think it's important that we vote no on both amendment questions in the upcoming election. Thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, thanks, Eric from Tulsa. Yeah, vote no on both of these questions. The first question is, shall section whatever of Article 4 of the Constitution of Wisconsin be created to provide that the legislature may not delegate its sole power to determine how money shall be appropriated? And the second one is similar along those lines. This is lawyer language. That would strip what the intention is to strip the power of the governor to allocate federal funds. And this is an effort by the legislature to take more power away from Governor Evers. They tried to do that, as soon as he was elected and before he was sworn in. They're trying to do it right now before they lose power in the Wisconsin legislature after their rigged gerrymandered maps have been tossed out. So they're working as fast as possible to try to grab every last ounce of power that they can and deprive the person who was elected by a majority of Wisconsinites, unlike each member of the legislature, deprive him of the power that every governor in Wisconsin has had for a long, long time. So if you're wondering, not just you, Eric, but anyone listening right now, if you're wondering how to vote on these constitutional amendments that are on your ballot, vote no on both of them. So thanks for that call. And right now I'm joined by a friend of mine, Abigail Sweats, the newly appointed executive director of FAIR Wisconsin. Abby Sweats, welcome to the program.
Hi, Matt. It's so great to see you.
It's great to see you. It's great to hear your voice. Tell our listeners what Fair Wisconsin's all about.
Yeah, well, it's an exciting place to be right now, although I've only been here 3 weeks, so I have a feeling I'll keep learning more and more, although, of course, I've been paying attention for years to the incredible work of Fair Wisconsin. Fair Wisconsin is Wisconsin's only statewide LGBTQ plus civil rights and political advocacy organization. So you name it in terms of protecting the civil rights of LGBTQ plus people and or advocating to make sure that the right people are in office to do that protecting, we are there at that forefront. It is a time where we need to be really vocally at that forefront, because I know, having as a 42-year-old experienced quite a bit of change and growth in LGBTQ plus rights in our country and in our state, we have a long way to go. And also people keep trying to push us back. And I know you definitely heard a lot of that come up at the RNC. And also you heard a lot of one of the hateful language that is being used about trying to push us back. And so I'm really thankful that you wanted to have me on and talk today.
Well, I wanted to, because I was watching the RNC on Monday night and I heard the horrific, you know, anti-trans and cheap anti-trans rhetoric coming from Ron Johnson, of all people, even in his script that he couldn't read properly, which was maybe the wrong script on the teleprompter, whatever. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene doing it too. And, you know, I know Trump has been consistently using these anti-trans riffs in his speeches, and his audience seems to eat it up. And I just wanted to get your reaction to that kind of rhetoric.
Yeah, I'm so thankful for the opportunity to talk about it. I also want to say up front that I am a member of the LGBTQ plus community, but I am not myself trans or non-binary. And I do think it's really important that trans and non-binary voices are strong and present in this conversation. And I also firmly believe that people of an oppressed identity should not be perpetually put in a position to defend their own lives and their own humanity. We need strong voices in support to have this discussion. And I am here to do that today, to talk about the danger of this anti-trans rhetoric, not as a trans person, but as someone who loves many trans people in my life, right? So I will say, I think when I think about what is coming out of the RNC about the anti-trans rhetoric we're seeing, and also just in general, the tone, the word ugly really comes to mind. And then also, I don't think that even really begins to encapsulate what that means, because it's dangerous what is coming out of the RNC right now. Did come out and continues to. And it's not new. I think we should definitely point that out. This rhetoric has been bubbling for a long time, and has been bubbling locally for a long time, which is scary. And when I think about the danger of this rhetoric, I think about how it's a politician taking the identity of often a child, like a trans or non-binary kid, and then weaponizing it to score political points. And I feel like that is just, like, in my gut, wrong. And I think a lot of people, even those of your listeners or of the wider community who don't necessarily know a lot of trans or non-binary people, know that an attack on humanity like that is just wrong. And so when I say that, you know, the language here is dangerous and that it is hurtful and it hurts, that there is an emotional cost to anti-trans and anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, I do mean that, of course, it hurts our LGBTQ plus community, but I also mean it doesn't hurt only us. I think it's really hurting the empathy of our larger community, our larger nation. And I think that hurts every American. And we stand to lose a lot if we let it continue.
I mean, there certainly is this increasingly coarse aspect of our national dialogue that you and I heard at the RNC, not just on this anti-trans rhetoric, but also on, you know, mass deportation now and other anti-human rhetoric mm-hmm. that you're seeing. But I also mm-hmm. wanted to get a sense from you about how dangerous it actually is for trans individuals themselves.
Absolutely. I think, just to build on something for a second, Matt, when you were speaking to sort of the broader ugliness and then also this specificity, I think a lot about my time when I was an eighth grade teacher and also a gender and sexuality alliance advisor, and hearing directly from these 13 and 14 year olds in my class and in my club about their reality, their lived experience. And let's be real, being a middle schooler is tough. Being a trans or non-binary youth is by definition even more difficult because you are living in this toxic society that is being perpetuated by language like what you're hearing. And so I think back a little bit to, I had a student who said the day after the 2016 election that what they needed most in their lives was a president who understood empathy. And that is something that I think we really need to be looking for more of, especially when I think of this impact. I always think of what is the impact of language like this and of policies that are anti-trans and anti-LGBTQ, because it's not just language. I always think about mental health. And I'm going to talk about some numbers for a second, but whenever I talk about numbers, and again, this is to me about centering empathy, I think it's really important that we don't hear the numbers as like points on a graph or percentages, that we hear the numbers as representing the lives of young people. And the numbers that I can talk about are numbers taken from the data from a survey that was given to 14 to 18 year olds in Wisconsin. So we're talking about young people, we're talking about kids. And so when I think about the data about youth mental health, I always take a moment to really try and think about a kid in my life and sort of hold them in my thoughts and my heart when I think about it. So maybe your listeners could do the same. So if you think of four lesbian, gay, or bisexual youth, transgender youth, very important in this conversation, not included in this number because of the way the survey worked. If you think of four lesbian, gay, or bisexual youth, according to the survey, two of them considered suicide in the past year, and one of them attempted to take their own life in the past year. And then when we think about trans youth, that suicide attempt number jumps to 40%. That is so sad. And it is so changeable, because when we think about the toxicity that people are living in, if we could do something to change that, what kind of relief that would give to these young people. And Guess what? There is something we can do to change that.
Well, let's talk about that in a second. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I'm speaking with Abby Swetz of Fair Wisconsin. I'm Matt Rothschild. We'll be right back.
Come take it to the floor now. And I'll be damned if I cannot dance with you. Baby, pour that sugar and liquor on me too.
Rothschild here, subbing in for Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show all across the great Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. I've been speaking the last few minutes with a friend of mine, Abby Swetz. She's the newly appointed executive director of Fair Wisconsin, the LGBTQ advocacy organization here in Wisconsin. We've been talking about the foul, nasty, dangerous anti-trans rhetoric that we heard at the RNC, some of it spilling out of the mouth of our own Senator Ron Johnson. And before the break, Abby, you mentioned that we can do something about this rhetoric, this kind of poison. What can we do about it?
Well, we can do something in our daily lives, and then we can also do quite a bit when it comes to legislation. So I'll speak to that as well. In our daily lives, I think it's really important to remember that when you have a trans or non-binary individual in your life who is maybe a youth or maybe an adult, that you really honor their own humanity by using the name they want you to use, by using the pronouns they want you to use. It's so simple. And when we look at the numbers I was giving you earlier were about youth mental health, when we look at what are the best practices for alleviating that stress that causes these things that are so difficult for our youth, it's really that simple. It's really as simple as affirming their humanity and believing them when they tell you who you are, who they are. And I think that that is deceptively simple, but also simple. It's something we can all do. I'll also add that there's a lot of work that we could be doing in the legislative front, specifically in the state legislature, that would really, really help. And I'm hopeful that with the new the newly drawn maps, we'll be able to do some more proactive work at Fair Wisconsin to add protections as opposed to beat back bad things, which has been sort of the focus for a while. But an example of that would be that Fair Wisconsin's non-discrimination law for employment and housing and so on, which was signed by a Republican governor, has sexual orientation in it in terms of protections against discrimination. It does not include gender identity right now. And we really need to change that. And that's something that we'll be definitely focused on as we go forward and have been focused on for a long time. We just are more hopeful about getting that included going forward.
Is there a piece of legislation that some Democrat allies have introduced on that already?
I know we've been doing that every session for a long time, and it hasn't gotten very far. So we're looking forward to getting that going again once session's back.
And as the executive director of Fair Wisconsin, Abby Swetz, do you or does an affiliate of Fair Wisconsin engage in an actual electioneering or campaigning for candidates, or you're not allowed to do that?
Oh, great question. So Fair Wisconsin is sort of, my job at Fair Wisconsin as executive director is actually an umbrella executive directorship over our C3, which really focuses on education and get out the vote, and our C4, which is more focused on the political work. And we also do have political action committees. So we do also do endorsements. We're currently working on through that process right now. And I'm really excited to see some of the stuff we've been doing with that work, because we've been including in our endorsement process education for any candidate who wants to learn more about what can be effective legislation and language about the LGBTQ+ community. They are able to sign up for trainings from us, and I think that's really, really important, and I'm really hopeful about that making some change.
And while I have you, do you have any view on the issue of the day about Biden?
Is the issue of the day about his presence in the race?
Yes. Do you have a feeling one way or another?
I'll tell you this. We need a pro-equality president, and that is not Donald Trump. So you know who I'll be voting for. Yep. Whoever is not that person.
That makes sense to me. For people yep. who want to contact Fair Wisconsin, how do they get hold of Fair Wisconsin?
Oh, absolutely. You can visit our website, which is fairwisconsin.com. You can sign up for notifications for our newsletter, action alerts. You can always donate. And there are also ways to contact us through that website. So we really look forward to hearing from you.
You know, Abby, I want to ask you about the one counter argument I hear from people on this issue a lot, and that's the one about athletics. You know, a male at birth who transitions to female, they say shouldn't be allowed to participate in women's sports. What's right. your counter to that?
I understand that it's an issue that a lot of people are sort of grappling with. And I think the most important thing to think about when we think about trans student athletes is that they are student athletes and trans. They are not, that is, they are all these things all rolled in together, and we have to honor the full humanity of these people. And when a young person wants to play a team sport, it's because they want to feel that amazing sense of belonging and get great physical activity about it. It's not about, you know, this kind of elite boogeyman of trying to win championships that they are not supposedly allowed to. So I think it comes back to that sense of belonging and trying to affirm the reality and the experiences and the feelings of our youth. And there are so many wonderful things to be had based on participating in youth sports. And we really want everyone to be able to access that. And so I think it's really important that we are as welcoming as possible on the teams that our students are trying to identify on.
And isn't it pretty much a red herring? I mean, it seems to me that it's not that common an occurrence that people are making it out to be, that, you know, you're going to have some trans individuals playing, you know, finals at the women's Wimbledon tournament or something.
Absolutely. We have to remember what this is really about. It is about whether or not LGBTQ+ people should be treated fairly across all parts of their lives, and across all parts of their public lives and across all parts of their lives that bring them joy. And I think that is so important to remember. People are trying to weaponize the joy of children, and that's just not okay. And it really is about, you know, whether or not we as LGBTQ plus people can live the life anyone else can live. And I think we need to.
And that everybody can pursue happiness. That's supposed to be pretty basic in our lives here in the United
States.
It
sure really is. It's right there in those documents, right up at the front.
Imagine that. Well, I want to thank you so much, Abby Swetz, for being my guest today on the Maggie Dawn Show. Abby Swetz is the executive director of FAIR Wisconsin.
Thank you so much for the invitation. Anytime you want to have me back, I'll be here.
Oh, that's terrific. And I've known Abby for many years. She was president of my board when I was the executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. She's been a champion for democracy her whole life, and was an amazing teacher, was teacher of the year here in Wisconsin at one point. So an amazing individual, Abby Swetz, executive director of FAIR Wisconsin. And in the next half hour, I'm going to take more of your calls at 855-752-4842. I want to hear what you have to say about our last conversation with Abby Swetz, or about the two big issues we've been talking about all afternoon. One is the RNC, and the second is Joe Biden. Should he go? Should he stay? If he goes, who should replace him? When should he go? All of those big topics. Mark Pocan, by the way, of Wisconsin, the first Wisconsin politician on the Democratic side to urge Biden out of the race, did that just today. The pressure is mounting. You've been listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm the former editor and publisher at The Progressive, too, and I've enjoyed getting the nod from Maggie Dawn when she needs to take a vacation like she does right now. Who won it after the RNC? So it's been my pleasure being with you. I hope you'll stay tuned as we're coming back in just a minute with another guest and more of your calls. Hey, Matt Rothschild here. I'm subbing in for Maggie Dawn on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network all across the great state of Wisconsin. Thank you for listening today. I've enjoyed your calls. I hope, if you haven't called in yet, that you'll join the conversation we've been having about the two big topics of the day. One is your reaction to the RNC, what you thought of it, what the reaction to Bush's speech, not Bush's, to Vance's speech or to Trump's speech. See, I'm 65. I'm showing my age.
Hey, Matt, I'm going to need you to pass a cognitive test before we let you back on the air.
I don't know if I can do it. I'm getting like Ernie Banks myself here. I'm betting under 200. But anyway, you can join us, 855-752-4842, to talk about the RNC or to talk about Joe Biden. Should he go or should he stay? And Cheryl from Eau Claire has been kind enough to stay on the line here for almost a half hour, it seems. Let's bring Cheryl into the conversation. Cheryl, what's on your mind?
Hi there. I just have my doubts with Biden. I've been a firm Biden supporter, but ever since the debates, it seems like everything has amped up on him negativity-wise. Nothing good really seems to keep coming out, or we highlight all the bad. And it just makes people doubt. And that's what, when you see the little falters or all the criticism from all types of newscast media. I mean, the debate ended in 5 minutes after CNN was already saying, should he, shouldn't he, it seemed like. And it just puts that doubt in people's minds.
Well, you know, I appreciate the call, Cheryl, from Eau Claire. And, you know, I sympathize with the position Joe Biden is in just because he's gotten such a hail of criticism ever since the debate ended. But look, he totally embarrassed himself on the stage in front of God and everybody. I mean, you couldn't have performed worse as a debater. And he didn't look like he was able to function at all as the president of the United States, as the person who's driving the ship. And so I thought even way before the debate that Joe Biden isn't our best candidate, number one. And two, has been, you know, in a little cocoon there in the White House. You know, they wouldn't even let him do a Super Bowl interview that every president does. And at that time, I said, wow, that he must not be up to speed if they won't let him even do that interview. And I had heard from other sources that he was, you know, losing a step or two. And so I didn't think he was our best candidate. I thought after the midterms, when there was a great success there, that he could claim credit for that and go out in a lot of glory. But he didn't do that. And now we're in the situation where it's drip, 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 fire hose, fire hose, fire hose. And I don't think he can recover from that. I mean, you're right. The criticism has been unrelenting, even though he has jumped through some hoops and cleared some hurdles that they told him he had to jump through and clear. So in a way, it's been unfair to Joe Biden. And yes, he won all these votes. No one else jumped into the race to challenge him. So I can see where he's feeling resentful. And I know there are people who always doubted him who are, you know, who have been calling for his head. And, you know, he's got a huge ego, as we saw in some of those interviews he did with Lester Holt and George Stephanopoulos. I don't think that made him seem like it was all about him, and it isn't all about him. It's about saving our democracy. That's the big thing. And I think he's got to recognize that the time for him to go is now, because we need someone stronger who can save our democracy. That's where I'm at. But I appreciate the call and your input, Cheryl. And if any other listener wants to call in and weigh in on this big question, 855-752-4842. In the meantime, I'm joined in the studio here in Waukesha by a board member of Voces de la Frontera, the great immigrant rights group here in Wisconsin. His name is Lalo Lemus. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Lalo. Thank you so much. Tell me and tell our listeners what Voces de la Frontera is all about.
Well, Voces de la Frontera has a long history of really supporting immigrant rights group. Their base was started really in Milwaukee by an amazing leader, Christine Newman Ortiz.
I love Christine. She does a fantastic job.
She is. She's amazing. So through her work and through community members, we expanded throughout Wisconsin now. There's a branch in Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison. So we're furthering expanding our work, but it's really a focus on immigrant rights. And right now, or it has been a focus, but really getting driver's license for immigrants.
And I know one thing Voces de la Frontera does, it's an amazing job at organizing people into protests too. And one of those protests was this week at the RNC, correct? Were you at that protest?
I was, yes.
How many people were there?
Well, I'm really bad at estimating like numbers as far as like people, but they say it was roughly about 3,000-4,000 people.
That's a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. And what were some of your demands or some of your posters or some of your slogans? What were the talking points?
Well, for the immigrants' rights, it was one of the strong ones was keeping families together. 'Cause we all lived through a first Trump presidency, and the trauma that was brought to our communities when there was lots of deportations and families being separated in the border, that was really one of our strong focuses.
Well, and there's reason to be worried, certainly, or absolutely terrified by the possibility of another Trump administration, because during the last few days here in Milwaukee, you had all this anti-immigrant rhetoric from the podium. You had people in the audience waving prefabricated signs that said mass deportation now. Those didn't appear out of nowhere. Those weren't made with crayons or Sharpies by people at their hotel room. Those were made by the organizers of the Republican National Convention. And to hear them lustily, you know, chant, you know, send them home or mass deportation now. How did that make you feel?
To be honest, it's scary. It is truly scary to think that is a step that the Republican Party is stepping into. Because, like, I mean, me as a beneficiary of Ronald Reagan and the Democratic Congress when they passed amnesty, that's really what granted me a lot of opportunities in my life. And to think that a party that used to embrace the immigrant population is now saying mass deportations, and that's one of their party platforms, is it's scary.
Tell me a little bit about your family history.
So my grandfather first started the journey to Wisconsin as a bracero through the bracero program that was started by the U.S. government during World War II. They went to Mexico really to bring workers into the different fields and different jobs. So my grandfather started the migration, brought my father, and eventually, basically, my father was able to save enough and sent for us to be reunited as a family here in Waukesha.
And then you said you got amnesty, or your whole family got amnesty.
Yes. So I did come into this country undocumented. I didn't realize this until I was probably about 10 years old, and my parents were paying lawyers off so we could go through the amnesty process.
And how old were you when you came here to Waukesha?
I was about 3.
And what's it like being in Waukesha? Have you encountered anti-immigrant sentiment or racism, or has it not been too bad?
No. I would say growing up, like, you start getting used to the stares when you're translating for your parents, and I've grown up with it. It's never been direct in my face, but it's always been a subtle racism.
So you feel it?
I do, yes, definitely.
And, you know, I was listening to Trump last night. In his speech, he used the word invasion 13 times. Talking about undocumented people here in the United States. He made outrageous comments about murderers and kind of echoing what he said in 2015 when he came down the escalator, talking about, you know, murderers, people coming and emptying their jails, crazy stuff about leaders from Latin America who don't have a problem of crime in their countries anymore because they send all the criminals to the United States. I don't know where he comes up with this stuff. But it certainly is creating an atmosphere that is very ugly and very dangerous, don't you think?
Definitely. And one of the things that I feel is, like, as an immigrant, the worst thing you could do is commit a crime because you draw attention onto your status. So I think even looking at the numbers, immigrants are far less likely to commit crimes than people that have been here for.
But then he had the lurid, you know, anecdote of, you know, this immigrant who came in and murdered this woman and this girl. I mean, it was just out of a propaganda film almost last night.
Yeah, I agree. That's why, like I said, it's a scary time.
And what is Voces de la Frontera doing to try to counter that?
So we're really hoping to get the vote out right now. Our focus is really about the vote and making sure that our members are informed. We have been fighting the fight of getting license for immigrants for a while.
Why is that an important issue? You've mentioned that twice now, so I want to follow up on that.
Yeah, well, one of the things that as an immigrant, you can't drive, but, like, a lot of communities aren't really set up to be like, walk to the grocery store, let's walk to church, let's walk here. So it is necessary. And a lot of our families are mixed citizenship status. So you might have parents that are undocumented when all their children's are citizens. So that creates a problem with law enforcement because they get pulled over and then all of a sudden the tickets come and it becomes a burden on the families and our communities.
I mean, it seems to me that the undocumented person in Wisconsin is put in an impossible situation. If you can't get a driver's license, you know, you can't find work. Or you do the natural thing, which is you're going to drive anyway because you need to work, and you're taking a terrible chance.
Yeah, and, like, going back and talking about when Trump was in president, was a president, I had like family members and friends of families that whose parents were deported because of that, because of driving without a license. And it's a need that we need as human beings to be able to drive.
I mean, if you're undocumented and you're driving and you know, your rear brake light's off or something like that, and you're pulled over, because police officers will pull you over for any reason. Or they'll say you rolled through a stop sign or you rolled through a red light, even if you didn't. And then you don't have your license because you're not allowed to get a license. Then you are SOL, as they say. You're in deep trouble and, you know, you may be deported and you may not see your kids again. I mean, that's the real crisis at a human level, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And apart from this, I worked in Waukesha schools for 12 years, too. And one of the things that I recall is like, I had to write a lot of letters for my families because of their parents were going through deportation processes, and I had to write some of that stuff. And it was really heartbreaking to see my students and have them go through something like that, because that's something that I never had to live through.
And you were writing letters to the family members?
To judges. Judges that they're going through the deportation process, and a lot of the letters that I wrote were more about the disruption of the family and as members of our community who contribute in church, and they come to conferences every time. It's really heartbreaking to see and hear that families are being separated.
So you were pleading with judges for mercy for these people whose families were being torn apart. We'll be right back. I've been speaking with Lalo Lemus, board member of Voces de la Frontera. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. She's on vacation. I'm subbing for her. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm delighted to be with you. If you want to call, it's 855-752-4842. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not to put too fine a bonnet, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the nightlight on. Not to put too fine a bonnet on it, say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
I don't mind. Hey, Matt Rothschild here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's on vacation. I'm glad you've been listening to the show. If you want to weigh in with a call here in the last few minutes of the show, pick up the phone and dial 855-752-4842. The big topics we've been talking about today are the RNC and what's your reaction to that, the question about Biden, should he go or should he stay, the issue of racism in this Republican Party that was on display. We talked about that with Pastor Lanier, and we're talking about it again right now with Lalo Lemus, board member of Voces de la Frontera, because of the hideous anti-immigrant rhetoric that was so awfully on display over the last 4 days, with all the chants of send them home and mass deportation now, and Trump's appalling rhetoric in his speech last night once he got past the account of surviving the assassination attempt. He launched into a tirade, an absolutely void of fact tirade against undocumented immigrants. And I'm speaking with Lalo Lemus, who's on the board of the great immigrant rights group here in Wisconsin, Voces de la Frontera, which is headed by Christine Newman Ortiz, one of the best organizers I've ever met in my whole life. And you were telling this story about being in the schools and writing letters to judges, begging for mercy from the judge so that the judge would not break up a family and send the father or the mother back home to Mexico or wherever the family was originally, because they were here undocumented. And did you get success with some judges, or was it falling on deaf ears? What happened with those pleas?
I would say I was able to get success, and I can't say just me. I can't be, I'm the sole person responsible, but yes, a lot of the families that I wrote the letters to, they would always thank me profusely, but like I'd later on, I'd see them in the community. So,
well, I can only imagine they just must be, you must be one of their heroes. I'm sure you're on their Christmas card list. I mean, now, what were you doing in the schools? What was your job in the schools at the time?
So I was a dual language teacher at a middle school.
Hmm. And for how long were you a teacher?
12 years.
Did you enjoy it?
I did. I loved it. I did. And one of the things that I think Waukesha has really progressed with is their program of dual language, which is not in every school district, but that is like the teaching of science and or Spanish and English.
And how long has it been in the district here?
I would say it's, I would say at least 10 years, if not more. Yeah.
And so Waukesha is changing politically too. I mean, it's been known, you know, ever since I've been in Wisconsin for 40 some years, it has been known as the reddest of red places, the, you know, the home of Scott Walker, the Waukesha County anyway. And, it's changing though. It's becoming more liberal. Are you noticing that in your day to day?
Yes, definitely. We could still use a lot more work with that, right? But I do see it.
And what accounts for that, do you think?
Some of it, I feel like it's the blatant messages that are coming out from the Republican Party. I feel like in the past it wasn't like that. So you would have that shift of more Latino families supporting Republican candidates.
What was your reaction to Bob Spindell, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner and false elector, who was bragging about depriving African Americans and Latinos of their right to vote in 2022, bragging that the Republican Party of Wisconsin had discouraged African Americans and Latinos from getting to the polls and that they should all be proud of that?
Oh, my gosh. That is one of the things that, again, we do need to get the vote out, especially for our Latino and Black families, because there is definitely a move to silence us. So I feel like now more than ever, we need to really get the vote out.
And Voces de la Frontera does a lot of work. Tell me about the work that Voces de la Frontera does in getting the vote out.
So we have different ideas. One of the things that we do is we have voceros who pretty much reach out to their family members, make sure that they get registered to vote, mail-in ballots if that's necessary. We knock on doors. We host events in the community. So there's a lot of informing the community and also letting them know how to get the vote out.
Do you ever do door knocking yourself?
I did. I did for Obama, definitely. I was.
What was that experience like?
It was great, to tell you the truth. We had an organization, like a little group of people here, Latinos in Waukesha for Obama, and it was a great experience. I did a lot of door knocking, speaking with people. It was a lot of dialogue with people who necessarily. They didn't see themselves as political, so it was good to get out and talk.
And do you have an opinion on this big question about Biden?
Either way, I feel like one of the things with this is like we've gotten away from the focus on the issues, and it's become a talk about Trump and Biden. And, you know, Biden has an amazing record. So for me, either way, whoever is in – who was ever at the top of the ticket, that's who I'm going to go with.
Well, that sounds good. Thanks for being on the show today. Lalo Lemos, board member of Voces de la Frontera.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. And I want to thank everyone who has called in today. I want to thank the guests who've been on the show. That's Lalo Lemos from Voces de la Frontera, Pastor Walter Jack Lanier, formerly of the African-American Leadership Alliance of Milwaukee, and Abby Swetz, executive director of Fair Wisconsin. I want to give a special shout out to Jess, who's been in the booth throughout the program today and hold my hand. And I also want to thank Maggie Dawn for letting me substitute for her when she's on a much needed vacation, as she is now. I always enjoy doing radio here in my dotage, and it's been fun taking your calls, talking over these big issues of the day. Thanks so much for listening to the Maggie Dawn Show and Civic Media. Devil's Advocates are next. Stay tuned.